And now we have crowned her queen. You got it bad, Julio. What did you talk about? The crown diamonds?
No, stupid. We talked about puppies and how I'd get to her house to pick one out.
Ever been to her house?
No, of course not. The thought of going to her house makes me jumpy. I've been to lots of girls' houses, but Romy's family has money. I know she lives in the nice part of town out beyond London Woods.
Yep, and Romy's house has a huge backyard, with trees and walkways even. I've been there a couple of times. It's really fat.
She says she had deer in her yard in the morning. Cool.
The volleyball was so far out of bounds that it landed at Julio's feet. He laughed and tossed it back to the ninth grader with ease.
Toss it the other direction, kid, he called. You get more points for your team that way.
The boy grinned and returned to his game. So where do you live, Julio? In a dungeon? Ben asked while he lay flat on the gym floor.
Almost, answered Julio. Our little place is a dull, gray apartment box on the other end of London Woods. Lots of people, more concrete than greenery, and more pigeons than deer. We only live a few miles apart, but what a difference a few miles of woods can make.
So, are you going to do sit-ups or what? I'm inventing a new exercise. It's called lay-downs. You don't have to move at all.
You're nuts, Julio chuckled.
Don't let where Romy lives intimidate you, Ben continued. Go for it. He turned on his side then. Must exercise all parts of the body, he said with great seriousness. So you got through the meal with no hassle this time?
I wish. Near the end of lunch, just before the bell rang, the devil dogs came back. There were five of them this time, all dressed in the purple hoods, silently standing at our table and staring.
Ben sat up. The leaders of the family? What did they say?
They didn't say anything. I guess they figured their silence was loud enough.
What did you do?
Romy and I had already planned what we would do. He worked perfectly. We kept talking and totally ignoring them, acting as if they were invisible.
I know that pissed them off.
Yeah, he made them really mad. And it seems like they stared even louder,
if that's possible. So, was that it? Ben seemed disappointed.
No, wait till you hear.
Julio replied with a mix of excitement and mystery in his voice.
Just before the bell rang, Romy pulled her portable CD player out of her book bag, turned it up as loud as it will go. We jumped up on the table, and we started dancing.
You didn't. I love it. Ben rolled on the floor with delight.
Everybody, continued Julio, of course turned to see what we were up to, including Mr. Prince, who headed our way from across the cafeteria. The bell rang just at that moment. We gathered our stuff, grabbed hands, and ran from the cafeteria. We were laughing so hard. Wow, that was the first time I touched her. It was like bright green electricity.
You held hands. Gee, take me back to kindergarten.
Your nose is starting to look normal. Want me to redecorate it again?
Nah, man. Save it for the family, Ben declared, touching his nose and nose ring carefully. So what happened to the devil dogs?
A friend of Romy's told her that the devil dogs were left standing by our table, looking stupid, and by the time Mr. Prince had waddled over, they had dispersed. Mr. Prince never really knew who had the nerve to dance on his lunch table. We got away clean.
Righteous man. So what happens now?
Who knows? I hope they figured out we don't want anything to do with them. Hey, we're up to play now. Watch me serve you out.
After all that exercising I just did? Give me a break.
They ran out onto the gym floor, laughing. Chapter 23. Romeo and Destiny, between classes. The bell rang for the end of sixth period. The halls, which had been silent just a few seconds before, were instantly crowded with hundreds of students trying to get to seventh bell in the 5 minutes allotted. Most could probably make it in three, but the 2 extra minutes were necessary to stop by their lockers, run to the bathroom, and talk with their friends. Instead of moving the pace along, as their teachers constantly tried to encourage them to do, they huddled in noisy, excited bunches, anxious to share the last tidbit of news or gossip, which, of course, had changed in the 45 minutes since the last change of classes. Romy saw Destiny first. She was easy to spot. She was dressed in bright orange. Pedal pushers, body shirt, and big-heeled shoes. And her hair was full and fluffy.
Destiny! Come here, girl!
Guess what? Julio held my hand today. We were laughing and running after we left those devil dogs in the cafeteria looking stupid. And he grabbed my hand, and oh my goodness, it felt so good.
My psychic powers tell me you got it bad, girl. Or you got it good. What's up with the gangbangers? Why are they sweating you?
Forget the gangbangers. Julio touched me.
For real, girl. I see your soulmate rising out of the mist. Tell me what it felt like when he touched you. This is important.
It felt like fire, like ice, like spice, like magic. I think he felt it, too.
Fire, ice, true signs. He's a Pisces, a true water sign. And you're a Leo, pure fire. A joining of the opposite forces of the universe. Awesome!
When we got to the end of the hall, Mr. Wilkins, that substitute with the fake eyeball, walked toward us and shushed us. But he smiled, and we smiled back. Even with only one good eye, Mr. Wilkins could see the sparks.
I'm taking notes, Romy. I got to check my Starbucks on this one. True soulmates meet in this life, and I am here to witness it. What happened next?
When Julio finally let go, my hand felt empty. I got embarrassed and was afraid to look at him. He touched my hand once more, then ran to his gym class to get there before the bell rang. I heard the late bell, but didn't even notice it. I danced to French and didn't even care when the teacher asked me, in French, if I wanted a detention for being late. I told her, suit yourself, and just smiled.
You said that to Madame Mantua? How many detentions did she give you?
She must have thought I'd lost my senses, because she just told me to sit down and to come back down to the Earth's atmosphere. Was it that obvious?
It must be something in the stars. Because if I just giggle in Madame Mantua's class, she sends me out.
Destiny moaned.
I've started leaving a chair in the hall so I have some place to sit when she puts me out of class. Maybe I should fall in love, too.
Who said anything about love, Destiny? He makes me feel silly, happy, crazy. But that's not love, is it?
Feels the same, they tell me. But how would I know? I get all my information from Starbucks and teen magazines.
Hey, the bell is getting ready to ring. I gotta go. Me and Julio are supposed to talk again tonight on the computer. I'll call you after that.
Okay. Have fun up there on the stars. There's the bell. See ya.
Destiny's slim orange figure disappeared into the classroom.
Later.
Romy walked slowly down the quickly emptying hall. She was thinking of Julio, not math class, and she smiled as she shifted her book bag on her shoulder. Chapter 24. Private chat room conversation.
Hola, Romiette. Do you think those devil dogs will come after us now that we made them look stupid in front of the whole cafeteria?
I'm not scared of them. But you never know how the peanut minds of people like that operate.
Yeah, I think they'll try something. They have to in order to look good in front of the others. We better be careful. Or at least plan something just as outrageous for the next time they try to stare us down. Were you scared?
Me? Que no. I came prepared with extra weapons. Jello cubes in my back pocket.
Yeah, right. Jello kills. I forgot. Oh, I almost forgot. The puppies are old enough to go. Are you coming on Sunday?
Yes, about 3 o'clock.
What will your mother say about me?
You know I'm a little scared about meeting your folks.
Even though there's no reason for you to feel funny, I think I know what you mean. Parents of a girl look at every dude that comes over as somebody who will take their little darling away. My dad is going to have it really rough when I finally leave home. He and I are very close. He still calls me his little angel and lets me do almost anything. Mama is strict. She always says, no way, when I ask to go on ski trips or overnights with my friends. So I use my best little girl voice and plead to my dad. He usually tells Mama,
aw, lady, let the girl go. She works hard in school, makes good grades, and never causes us any trouble. Let's let her go.
Mama usually gives in, and I smile sweetly to my dad. She knows what I'm doing. She's been using it on Daddy herself for years. The funny part is that the things that he talks Mama into letting me do are things involving boys or potential dangerous situations, like an overnight in a ski lodge with sleepy chaperones. He doesn't want me to grow up, but he lets me go to these pretty grown-up places. I guess he trusts me.
I can tell that you're crazy about your dad. And your mom sounds cool, too. My parents are a little tighter. They're very strict on me and expect me to do well. So I do. I see kids all around yelling at their parents and talking back and coming in late and stuff. I wouldn't even know how to do that. I guess I'm pretty lame.
No, you don't sound lame.
I get tired of hard-headed, big-headed boys who think they're so bad that they can't even take time to be nice to their mama.
I like the way you talk about your folks with respect. But didn't you ever just want to run singing into the moonlight and do exactly as you wanted to do? Skydive naked from a plane, eat ice cream for breakfast and broccoli for dessert?
I like your attitude.
Yeah, I guess I've thought about doing that kind of stuff. I'd like to swim across the Nueces River at the widest crossing in a thunderstorm at midnight. How's that?
You're getting there. Do you have clothes on for this swim? Are you carrying anything?
No, I'm naked as a newborn rat. And I'm carrying a backpack. No, two backpacks. And they're full of medical supplies, which I must deliver or the lives of the children of Mexico will be lost. And it's cold, at least 50 below zero.
Now you're talking. I think I'll be in that warm little yacht next to you. The one with a motor and a heated cabin and a fully stocked kitchen in a coat, sipping cocoa, watching you swim. You make me do all that, and you sit sipping hot chocolate while I freeze my naked buns?
It's your fantasy. I'm having fun watching you.
You're silly. It is so much fun to talk to you. Want to hear another fantasy? It's a little scary.
I'm ready.
I imagine 2 16-year-olds, a little different on the outside but sharing something on the inside, on a beach. I imagine them touching each other in the moonlight on that beach. It wouldn't matter if it were a thunderstorm or a hurricane or 50 below zero. It wouldn't matter because they wouldn't notice. They'd only see each other. He would whisper soft phrases of Spanish love songs into her ear, and she would tremble in his arms because even without knowing the words, she'd know the meaning. She could feel the tenderness of his lips on hers. And the world would stop for those few moments while they stood there in the shadows of the night.
Wow, Julio. You have a way with words. I had that same fantasy many nights while trying to get to sleep. I imagine that young man and that girl standing on the beach, on a mountain, in a crowded room, no longer alone, but together. I have imagined the feel of his lips on mine. I have imagined how safe I would feel in his arms. I don't understand it. I don't want to. But I know it is real and powerful and wonderful. I'm not sure what to do with these feelings. I've never felt like this before. But I want to be with him.
Romeette, you are my dream.
Julio, my dreams are sometimes terrifying.
I will protect you.
From my dreams?
Maybe I will be there for you in your dreams.
I have to go. My mother wants to use the computer. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Call me. Better yet, write me. I love the way you say things. Good night.
Good night, Romeette. Sweet dreams.
Chapter 25. Dream. Romeette washed her face and quickly slipped on her pajamas. She couldn't stop smiling. She hurried to bed and snuggled under the covers onto the cool, soft sheets. She plumped two pillows behind her head and hugged one in front of her. She reached up, turned off the light, said a quick thank you to the darkness, and let herself think of Julio. How could someone she'd only known such a short time so completely fill her thoughts? He was clever and kind and smart and, oh, so good-looking. His eyes sparkled, his grin was infectious, and his voice was... She drifted to sleep, smiling, thinking of Julio, his voice echoing in her dreams. They were running, fearful, in a place she had never seen. She was hot and sweating, but the air was cold. The sky was black and green with slices of bright yellow. Was that rain or blood that was pelting her, soaking her? She was crying. He held her hand tightly, never letting it go. She could sense his fear, feel his heart beating. He was afraid for her, for them. Why? She couldn't remember, couldn't see through the storm. She smelled the water then. Deep, evil, powerful. The water was her only hope, her only chance. She screamed, jumped, and screamed again.
Then all was silence as the water thundered into her ears, forced itself down her throat, and burned its way into her nose, her lungs, her brain. This water was fierce and deadly. Not cool, gentle waves, but hot, choking, liquid flames, sucking the breath of life from her. She struggled, searching for air, for land, for something to hold on to. But there was only the water, pulling her into its depths. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't swim. She could no longer scream. The water filled her, seared her thoughts, and she drifted slowly into unconsciousness. The fire cooled, the terror ebbed, and the dark shadow of death embraced her. She drifted then, in a haze of colors and swirls and black, frightening void. Voices! Could she hear voices? One voice? No. All was silence. No reason to care, to breathe, to live. So easy to let the silence swallow her. That voice! It pierced the darkness. It was calling her name, grabbing her thoughts, and making her remember the fear, the pain, the cold, clammy water. The water! She gasped, and the water grabbed her once more, viciously dragging her to its depths. But that voice, a man's voice, it floated down to where she lay, cradled in the arms of the victorious water. The voice called her one last time. It was Julio. Romeo's scream pierced the night, and she sat straight up in her bed. She was shivering violently as her mother rushed into the room. Her mother sat on the bed and cuddled Romy as she had when she was a child. She rocked her and whispered, "Romy, baby, what's wrong?" Romy shivered from cold, and she felt wet and clammy. She gulped huge breaths of the night air. "I don't know, Mama. I had a terrible dream." It felt good to be in her mother's arms once again. Romy slowly relaxed and started to breathe normally. Her mother stroked her back. "Shh, it's okay now. Let's turn on the light. Breathe easy now. That's better. Do you remember it at all?" Romy knew every single detail, but she told her mother, "No, it's all a blur. Someone was chasing me and I fell, and I don't remember anything else." Somehow she couldn't tell her mother the truth. Not yet. "Do you want me to stay in here with you?" This time she told the truth. "Yes, Mama. Just for a little while." Romy smiled and snuggled back under her covers. Her mother smiled and curled up next to her daughter. She stayed there until Romy slowly drifted back to sleep. The dream did not return that night. Chapter 26. At Destiny's House. Destiny and Romy were sitting on Destiny's huge waterbed. They were supposed to be doing homework. They had to complete all the essentials first. Fix the hair, pick out outfits for the next day, and do each other's nails. Romy, still shaky and unsettled from the dream of the night before, asked, "Destiny, you know that dream I told you about? It's back. Even more frightening. more details. I'm running, running from death, then I'm drowning. And the voice at the end of the dream I couldn't identify?
It was Julio, right?
Destiny cried with satisfaction. Does that mean he saves me, or is he the one who's drowning me? It's so confusing.
Can you tell who you're running from?
No, it was dark and shadowy, and there was blood or rain, I couldn't tell which, and Julio was holding my hand, and we were running from...
Wait a minute, Julio was holding your hand while you were running?
Yes.
Then he couldn't be the one drowning you. He was the voice.
I don't know. I'm so confused and scared. What does this all mean?
Don't worry about it now. The stars have a way of working these things out. When did you talk to him last?
Last night, on the computer, in our private chat room. I didn't see him at lunch today because I had to see my counselor about the SATs. But I hope I haven't screwed everything up.
What did you do, Romy? Did you tell him about the dream?
No, but I told him something else. At least I think I did.
Told him what? You didn't tell him about the scientific soulmate system, did you? I'd be so embarrassed if a dude knew we believed in that stuff.
No, of course not. I think I told him how I feel about him. I'm not sure what I said. It's so easy to talk to him.
What does he know for sure, girl?
Well, he knows I like him. Want to be with him. But it's worse than that. I've never felt like this before. I feel like I want to crawl up into a little molecule and become a part of him. I never want to not be with him.
Good grief, this is not me. You didn't tell him all that, did you? We've got to leave something for him to find out.
No, I'm not stupid. But then again, maybe I am. I can't believe I've fallen stupid head over heels in love with Julio Montague. How am I going to tell my mother? What am I going to tell her?
Forget your mother. Mothers are always the last to know good stuff like this.
You're right. Besides, there's nothing to tell yet. But I can't wait to see him. He's coming over Sunday to get the puppy.
What time?
3, I think. I'm so mixed up. I can't remember. Destiny bounced on the waterbed.
What are you wearing, Romy? This is a critical question.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't even thought about it. My black jeans and that black sweater? No, I hate that sweater. What about your green outfit?
My green outfit?
Yeah,
you look better in it than I do. You can take it when you go home.
No need. I already have it. But I'll take some shoes. I don't have shoes to go with it.
You want my underwear, too?
Destiny laughed. That won't be necessary. Romy smiled. You know, I'm not gonna sleep until Sunday. I'm halfway scared to sleep anyway. I've got to fix my hair for Sunday, too. Maybe I'll curl it and wear it down.
What if it rains?
Destiny asked, frowning.
It can't rain. If it's rainy, I'd better call the weather. My hair gets puffy and droopy.
He seems to like it the way I usually wear it, but I'm not sure now. I wonder if Mama will let me go shopping. I need new shoes. No, it's muddy out there by the puppy cage. I'll wear yours.
Gee, thanks.
What difference does it make? Julio doesn't seem to mind what I wear or how I look. He said he likes me. I can't stop smiling.
I got to go plot your signs and make up a love course for you. But right now, the stars are shining.
Yeah, but what about the dream?
Right now, your dreams are golden. Hang on to that.
Should we start on this math assignment?
Yeah, I guess we stalled long enough.
Okay, but don't let me forget the shoes.
Chapter 27. Julio and his mother. Julio looked out of his window to a cold, bleak rain. It had rained all day, but he didn't care. The sun was shining in his heart, in his room, in his world. The day was bright with thoughts of Romeette. Her smile, her giggles, her laughter. Thinking of her made him feel like a crayon, full of color and possibilities, a speck of color in a world of drab gray and dark rain. Julio's mother peeked her head through his open door. Julio smiled. His mother had long black hair that showed no gray and a face that was beautiful but somehow very sad. She rarely spoke to Julio of the three children she had buried before he was born. But he knew that she carried them with her, even in this cold and lonely place so far away from their small resting places. Julio always had been able to talk to her with ease. It was his mother he first told about the gang problem at his old school, about his anger and pain of moving, and also about his fight and friendship with Ben. Perhaps she would understand about Romy.
"Gummy, Mama," he offered quietly.
"How's it going, little one, on this rainy, cold day?" she asked him.
"I didn't even notice the rain, Mama," Julio admitted. "It's a rainbow day to me."
"What's her name?"
his mom asked immediately.
"What makes you think it's a girl?"
Julio teased.
"It could be the fact I made the jazz band."
"Jazz band doesn't bring sunshine on a rainy day, my son. Only a special someone."
"She is special, and her name is Romeette, Mama," Julio admitted with a smile.
Maria Montague looked into her son's eyes.
"You want to talk about it?"
"I don't even know how it happened so quickly. All I know is I met her at school, and I can't stop thinking about her."
"And her feelings about you?"
"Why should she care about somebody like me? She hardly even knows me. All I know is I can't stand to be away from her. Her curiosity, her sense of adventure, they all make me want to dance, or jump, or yell with excitement."
"She sounds quite special. Someone worth treating with great care."
"Oh yeah, she's all that all right." Julio was surprised at the amount of understanding his mother showed.
"What does she look like?" asked Maria Montague.
"Tell me about her."
"She's a jewel in a pile of rocks. She likes chocolate cake for dinner, and I love chocolate."
"My goodness, she's got you talking poetry?"
"Oh yes, Mama. The shape of her fingers, the curve of her back, the tilt of her head, all make me dizzy. I even like the sound of her voice, a little low and full of secrets. If she could put that voice of hers in a bottle and sell it, she'd be rich."
"Well, it seems that she has one satisfied customer at least."
"I'm glad you found someone special, Julio. Take your time. Cultivate your friendship first. The romance will happen soon enough."
"I'm working on the friendship part, Mama. She's the girl I'm getting the puppy from.
I'm so glad you said we could have one. I'm going to our house Sunday to get it. I wonder if her parents will be there and what they'll think of me. Maybe they won't like me.
Of course they'll like you. What's not to like?
But you're my mother. You have to like me. Julio grinned.
And sometimes that's not easy. She smiled back.
Go to her house, be yourself, and don't worry so much. If you see something golden in this girl, then her parents must have done a pretty good job of raising her, so they must be pretty special as well.
You're sort of smart, Mama.
I remember the feeling of young love. You feel as if you have found your dream, and you can't stop smiling. Julio smiled. You got that right.
Chapter 28. Conversation. Ben and Julio. Julio stood in the main hall of the school, waiting for the bell to ring to start the day. It seemed like years since that first day when he had rearranged Ben's face and found a friend. The halls were still as dark, the building just as ugly, but many students who had been strangers were now acquaintances whose names he remembered, and some had become friends.
"What's up, Julio?"
or "Hey, Julio," greeted him as he found a place to toss his book bag and wait for the rush to get to first bell. Romy wasn't there yet, but Ben's arrival was always a surprise. Today his hair was parted in the middle. One half glowed bright pink, the other half shimmered in an iridescent silver. Kids cheered in approval as Ben took his bows. Julio shook his head and grinned.
"What's up, Julio? My main drop of tequila in this concrete seashore we call home?"
"You're home, man," retorted Julio. "I'm just leaving here till I can get back to mandolins and mariachi music."
"Hey, I don't see you buying no plane ticket. Looks like you're spending lots of time with Romeette. She seems to be making your sojourn here rather pleasant."
"Yeah, ma. She's hot sauce for my mashed potatoes.
Chocolate for your cornflakes."
"Pretty poetic for a dude with two-tone hair."
"Pink and silver hair is what poetry is all about. Expression. Creativity. Besides, orange is old. That was yesterday. Gotta stay fresh, my man."
"Gotta stay alive. Don't want those devil dogs to keep hassling me and Romy."
"They have no poetry. They have no individuality. They're just parts of a large, dirty organism, like that alien monster thing in that Star Trek movie. Unthinking, but very, very dangerous."
"So how do you fight stuff that makes no sense?"
"You gotta be smarter than they are, Julio. And quicker."
Ben did a quick little dance step.
"Easier said than done, Ben, my friend. There's been a lot in the news lately about gangs in schools. They don't have solutions either."
"Hey, Julio, did you see Channel 6 last night?"
asked Ben as the bell rang.
"Yeah, did you see Nanette? Now that's an example of no brains. Whew."
"You got that right. For about 10 minutes yesterday, she was looking into the wrong camera. I guess at the commercial break they told her what to do."
"You know what, Ben? I watch Romy's dad every night to see how the show is put together. I'd give anything to work at a TV station."
"And you get Nanette Norris as an extra treat."
"Don't remind me. Why do you think they keep her on the air?"
"Who knows? So why don't you ask Romy's dad for a job?"
"A job? I've never even met him. I'd be scared to death just to be in the same room with him.
So let Romeo ask him.
No, maybe by summer I'll get enough nerve, or I'll go down and apply for a summer intern job on my own. I don't believe in people asking for favors.
There's the warning bell. I think I'll go to class on time today and give the teacher a heart attack.
Ben jogged down the hall and around the corner.
Later, Julio, he called out.
Julio grinned and went to his own class.
Chapter 29. Hall Conversation. Just before lunch.
Romeo was in a hurry. She hadn't seen Julio all day. She'd missed him earlier that morning in the front hall, and hadn't run into him between classes the way she usually did. Teachers talked extra long, or someone asked her a question, and her timing had been off all day. Just as she got to the lunchroom steps, Malaika stopped her.
Can I speak to you, Romeo?
Looks like you're already doing that, Romy replied with a grimace.
What you been up to, girl? I don't see you much at lunch anymore, Malaika challenged.
I usually eat with Julio, Malaika. I guess the whole school knows by now.
Romy wanted to rush by Malaika and up the steps, but she knew it was better to act unconcerned.
Malaika knew she was interfering with Romy's plans. She spoke slowly and with purpose.
You got that right. You know, you got the devil dogs on edge.
Why should they care who I eat with?
It's a pride thing, a turf thing. You know how it is.
No, I guess I don't. I'm minding my own business, eating my own lunch, and talking to my friend. Why should they care? And you sound like you're on their side.
Romy was getting impatient.
I'm not on nobody's side. I just figured I'd warn you that they don't like what you're doing. They wouldn't like it if you were eating with a white boy either. That's just the way they see things.
How do you know so much how they see things? You still talking to Terrell?
Yeah, me and Mr. T. That's his gang name. We're pretty tight. You know how that is. I really shouldn't even be talking to you. But since we're friends, or used to be, I figured I'd let you know they're watching you.
You still didn't tell me what they plan to do.
I don't really know. I just know that you better stay away from places where you might be caught alone, like bathrooms and stuff.
Romy was incredulous. She gasped in surprise.
I can't believe this. Are you for real?
Malaika was unruffled. Real as a heart attack.
What about Julio?
What about him?
Is he in any danger?
If he don't learn the rules, he might have to be taught a lesson.
What rules? Who made up these rules? How can he follow laws when he doesn't know what they are?
The devil dogs don't want to hurt you, 'cause you're one of the sisters on the list. You always dressed like a sister and hung with the sisters, so there was no problem. But now you're about to get cut off the list, and that's dangerous.
The list? You're talking crazy.
Romy was angry, irritated, and very late for lunch now.
I'm trying to get some basic stuff into your black head. And never forget, it is black, Malaika reminded Romy. If you get cut off the list, you got no protection. I never asked for any protection from some gang. I don't want it or need it. Romy was so angry she wanted to cry, but she refused to give Malaika the satisfaction. Suit yourself. That Mexican ain't got a chance. What did he ever do to you? Or to anybody black? Romy asked in disbelief. Nothing. We just don't need no foreigners around here mixing it up with the sisters. He's not foreign. He was born in this country, just like you were. Doesn't matter. We don't want him here. You're treating him just like whites treated us. Don't you think that's a little stupid? Romy asked, trying to appeal to Malaika's sense of reason. I don't make the rules. I just pass on the information. Gang rules. Gang laws. Things change. You sure have changed, Malaika, Romy said angrily. You used to think for yourself. Now I got Mr. T to think for me and take care of me. I like that better. You really like Terrell? Yeah, he's got it together. He makes me feel strong and safe. Look, can't you see? That's how Julio makes me feel. You should've picked somebody black. I didn't pick him. It just happened. You don't pick who you fall for. You just fall, and when you pick yourself up, he's part of your life. Can't you understand that? Look, I've already said too much. Be careful. Something is going to go down, and soon. The Devil Dogs have to make a statement. Make a showing to the school. There's too many white kids for them to try anything. But your Mexican is the perfect target. It's nothing personal. Peace. Bye. At that, Malaika disappeared into the lunchtime crowd. Romy stood there for a minute, musing on what Malaika had told her. Peace? She said out loud. Nothing personal? What are we going to do? She ran up the stairs to find Julio. Chapter 30 Lunch. When Romy got to the lunchroom, most of the students had finished eating and were sitting at the tables in small groups, talking loudly, yelling, joking, laughing. Trays were strewn all over the tables, and some were on the floor. Balled up lunch bags, broken pieces of cookie, orange peels, all decorated the tables and floors. Romiette hated the way the kids kept the lunchroom, but she wasn't a one-woman cleanup crew. She looked for Julio at the back table near the soda machine. He sat with Ben, sipping a soda. Ben, who Romy knew had study hall that bell, was making a design on his tray with Jell-O cubes. "Hi, Julio?" Romy said with a soft smile. "What's up, Ben? What in the world are you doing?"
"I'm making the world's greatest Jell-O sculpture. This may be worth lots of money one day." "Where's your bud Destiny?" Doesn't she have lunch this bell?
Destiny is probably in the volunteer room, tutoring. She likes working with the younger kids.
They make me itch.
Aren't you supposed to be in study hall, Ben?
Yeah, but I studied the hall and decided I had to get out of there. Besides, I had to check on my man Julio and your problems with our purple-wearing friends. I hate what they've done to purple. I had to get rid of all my purple hair dye because of them. Such a good color on me, too.
Julio laughed. Don't worry, Ben. There are enough other colors for you. Romy, did you eat yet?
I had some chips earlier. I'm not hungry, she said.
But Julio, we have a really big problem.
That gang is out to get us. To get you. You're a target. Just because you're new and you're alone. So they think. But you're not alone. You've got me.
And me, added Ben. Although I have no idea what I could do to help. I see bad guys and I run the other way.
It's always good to know your friends got your back, Julio said with a smile.
You'll never be alone, Ben promised. But I'm not sure what to do.
The thought of being helpless and at the mercy of thugs made Julio so mad he wanted to bite.
What do you think they'll do, jump me? He said angrily. I know how to watch my back. I can fight, and I'm not afraid. We just left the place because of fear. I'm not gonna run away like my parents.
Romy understood his anger and frustration. She touched his arm.
Remember our silly fantasies, Julio? Maybe we need to invent a place where we'll be safe and far away from all this trouble.
Julio was still tense. He shook her hand off his arm.
Where? On the moon? On Mars? On that moonlit beach? No, we've got to live in the real world, and they've got to let us.
He smiled at her then, and put his hand on her arm.
I won't let anything happen to you, Romy. I swear. I give my life for you. I told you that. I meant it.
Ouch, Julio.
Romy laughed uncomfortably.
I sure hope you don't have to. And I was just getting the hang of hot sauce on my peanut butter sandwiches, she joked.
Ben added,
Now that sounds like a good lunch.
You have potential, Romy, Julio grinned. My long-range plan is to get you to drink hot sauce straight from the bottle.
Dream on, Julio,
she challenged him with a smile.
But what do we do about the devil dogs in the meantime? Ben asked.
We need a clear plan of defense by Monday, Romy said sensibly.
Maybe we can figure this out Sunday, when I come over to get the puppy, Romy, Julio suggested. Ben, I'll call you tonight.
She gets the house call, and I get a phone call. There is no justice in this land, Ben moaned.
She's better looking than you, Julio grinned.
But can she do a jello sculpture? Teased Ben.
You win in that category, Ben, Romy laughed as Ben tossed his masterpiece in the trash.
There's the bell, said Julio. I gotta go. I'll be over Sunday at 3, Romy.
Even my mom is getting excited about meeting you and giving you the puppy, Romy told him.
You know, my mom was pretty understanding, too, Julio mused with surprise.
Parents do that, you know, Ben inserted into their conversation.
just so we never know what to expect. It's planned confusion.
You got that right, Romy agreed.
Later, Ben, called Julio as Ben sauntered into the crowded hall. Ben waved and was swallowed in the confusion.
I'll see you Sunday, Julio.
I can't wait, Romy said shyly.
Me either,
Julio smiled, then ran to class. Chapter 31. Saturday Night. Destiny Spends the Night. Destiny blew through Romy's front door like a windstorm. She carried two book bags, a plastic bag full of hair curlers, two shoe boxes, a stack of CDs, and a large box wrapped in brown paper. Destiny always arrived with baggage, even if she was just stopping by to pick up an outfit or do homework. She stored much of it in her car, which was her traveling closet. Romy's mom just shook her head and let her in.
Hey, Mrs. C. What's for dinner?
Destiny greeted her with a quick kiss on the cheek.
Vegetarian lasagna, Destiny. Your favorite.
How'd you know, Mrs. C? You must be psychic like me.
No, Destiny. You called me yesterday and told me, remember? Mrs. Capel laughed.
Well, a psychic's gotta be prepared, you know. Thanks for fixing it.
Everybody around here likes it, too. How's your mom?
She's fine,
Destiny replied as she grabbed a soda from the refrigerator.
She still says she's going to quit the airlines, but until I learn how to teleport myself, I need her to work there so we can travel in the summer. Expands my world vision, you know.
How very noble of you. Give her my best.
Okay, where's Romy?
Romyette is upstairs, pretending to clean her room.
I've seen it messy before, Mrs. C. I've seen your whole house messy. Actually, I think I helped mess it up last time.
That's probably true. Get upstairs before I decide to make you wash dishes, threatened Romy's mom. Destiny didn't have to be warned twice.
Zoomin'. Later, Mrs. C.
She ran up the steps to Romy's large and airy bedroom.
Hey, Romy, what's up?
Asked Destiny as she tossed her stuff on Romy's bed.
What do you mean, what's up? Did you bring the package?
What package?
Destiny replied in mock confusion.
Quit playing, girl. The system.
Thought you didn't believe in that stuff.
$44.99 of my money gives me the right to believe. Where is it?
Romy asked.
Got it right here.
Destiny grinned with delight. Did you open it yet?
No, still in the wrapper. I figured that we should open it together.
Okay, as soon as it gets dark, we check it out. Did you bring the shoes?
Yeah. Did you want the green ones? I brought the black ones just in case.
Sweet. Now I'll wear your pants with the white shirt. Do you think this will make me look fat?
I don't know. Try it on. Let me see what you look like in the outfit.
I am so huge. Julio is gonna think I'm a blimp.
If he thought you were a blimp, he wouldn't be coming over tomorrow. Chill.
Romy slipped the slacks and shirt on, pushed her hair up off her face, and looked in the mirror.
What do you think?
That white shirt is kind of boring. Try the green sweater.
That's what I had out in the first place.
Romy changed quickly.
They wore each other's clothes and interchanged tops and pants and shoes so often that neither of them could remember whose outfit was whose originally.
"That's the best," Destiny assured Romy. "You look just a little sweet, just a little sexy, and not fat."
"Good. That's the look I was trying for. Guess who called me just before you got here?"
"Who?"
"Malaika Grimes."
"What'd she want? Didn't she already hassle you on Friday at school?"
"She basically called to threaten me again, I guess," Romy shrugged. "Warning me," she called it. "She made it clear that I better stay away from Julio because the devil dogs didn't like it."
"What do they care about Julio?"
"They don't like him. They don't want us together."
"Why? What did he ever do to them?"
"Nothing. That's just it. He's new, and he's not black."
"Since when is there something wrong with being Spanish, a Greek, a Martian, for that matter? You just can't tell somebody how to live their life,"
complained Destiny. "You can if you're with the gangbangers." Romy sighed and sat on the bed.
"You gotta be careful, Romy. Maybe you should tell your father,"
Destiny suggested.
"Tell him what? That some girl who used to live down the street 4 years ago told me not to spend time with a new kid at school? That sounds stupid." "Just be careful. Promise me, okay?"
"What could happen?"